Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast with me, your host, Danny Kennedy, and you're listening to episode number 32. Welcome back to the show, guys, and on this week's episode, we're joined by special guest Rami Georgi of Smiles of Melbourne. So first of all, welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks for having me.
To start the show, I'll get you to quickly tell the listeners a bit about yourself, what you do and what you've done before we get into a few questions.
Yep. So I'm a dentist, and my business is called Smiles of Melbourne. What we do is just teeth whitening, and it's done by dentists, so it's the higher grade formula. A bit of background about how we got into it. It all probably started about 2.5-3 years ago when I graduated from dental school. Straight out of dental school, I opened up my first practice 2 days later. I always knew I was going to have my own practice, so opened that. It was full service, did all the dental stuff there. And within about a year or a year and a half, mainly off Facebook back in the days, we grew that up and was booked up and busy 3 or 4 weeks in advance. And out of all the dental stuff that we were doing, teeth whitening stood out a little bit. So that's when I thought, well, I wonder if we can do this as a little separate project on the side. And that's when we started Smiles of Melbourne. So I started off, again, as a side project, 2 days a week, just on the side, just to see, is it something that we can do? Is it going to work? And 3 or 4 months later, we were booked up again 3 or 4 weeks and hired another dentist. And then 6 months into it, we opened a second location in Toorak.
Whereabouts was the first location?
The first one was in Templestowe. Funny story. So I started looking around for a place. The only reason we went to Templestowe was because I grew up down the road, and I got a really good deal on that place. It actually stayed empty for 6 months because I didn't know what I was going to do with it. The rent for the first year, for the entire year, was about $7,500 for the first year. So yeah, so it was something I couldn't turn down, and it was divided up. I had 4 rooms in there. It was all good. But yeah, within 6 months, we outgrew it and started looking for another place. And we opened up a second one in Toorak. And that's been open for about 4 or 5 months now. And then just over a month ago, we opened a third one in Sydney. And that's coming along well now.
Yeah, so, cool. And we've spoke about this a couple of times, but obviously with the Sydney one, you probably face a couple of obstacles, I'm imagining, since you've named the first one Smiles of Melbourne.
Yes, we didn't plan that very well. The goal was never to leave Melbourne, so I called the whole thing Smiles of Melbourne. So the goal was to just grow the clinics in Melbourne, and then after we had the first two, I started wondering, well, should we do a third one in Melbourne in the same market, or do a separate one in a separate state altogether? I guess I was a bit hungry for, you know, chasing a new market. So we went down the road of going up and opening in Sydney. That's when the name problem happened. So we had Smiles of Melbourne, but we're going to Sydney, so we had to change all the branding and the logos around it to Smiles of Sydney. And it's been a bit of a logistical nightmare, but it's coming along well, I think.
Yeah, cool. And I'm assuming a few of the listeners are probably in the situation at the moment where they're thinking of maybe starting a business, or maybe they've got a few ideas that down the track they want to start a business. So just quickly, do you want to run through like the process, I guess, of once you come up with the idea of how you actually get the business up and running, even if it's not a business that you have a clinic, like, is there anything in particular that you need to run through to start it up?
Yeah, I think we've spoken about this a bit more lately. I'm usually quite quick with things where if I've got an idea, I quickly try and filter in my head, how doable is this? How easy is it going to be to launch? How easy is it going to be for someone else to replicate it? What's the chance of success? Just try and work it out. And it's a matter of looking to the back end, almost virtually trying to build the business, seeing what you need, what you need to buy, how much is it going to cost to sell it, how much marketing you need to do, is it going to sell easily, are other people doing it? Just doing that kind of research, whether it's through Instagram, Facebook, see what other people are doing, or just Googling it and doing some quick research on that. But like I've opened this, the first Smiles of Melbourne and a couple other projects we've launched since, I usually just throw myself out there and we build it and we do it and then sort of figure out as you go.
Take it as it comes, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so we mentioned before about the name change once you opened up the Sydney clinic. But has there been any other obstacles, I guess, that you've faced in the initial stages of starting it up? or even people that we spoke about this the other week, you were saying that for starters, as teeth whitening wasn't seen as much of a, it was kind of just a side thing, you face a bit of, I guess, kickback from other dentists?
Yeah, it was actually, it was a lot more from people around me, so whether it's family, friends, I guess, which is a very common story. Our family's very, very health-oriented. A lot of health professionals in the family. So when I said I'm going to go open a business that just does teeth whitening, the idea was, or the response was, well, is it going to work? Or do you just want to do that? You know, you're a dentist, you should be doing other things and all that kind of stuff. And I still practice general dentistry on the side 2 days a week to stick with it.
Yep.
But that was the sort of pushback where I had, you know, it's not real dentistry. It's not going to work. You can't just build a business around one product. And obviously it's worked and it's gone well. From the industry perspective, there's been two very interesting responses. The older dentists, the 40, 50-year-old dentists or 60-year-old dentists who've been practicing for, you know, 30, 40 years, they're looking at it going, oh, well, it's not real dentistry. There's probably a bit of a lack of respect for it, only because there's a million other things you can do in dentistry, a million other bigger things. The younger dentists who are coming out, they're seeing what we're doing. They're seeing our Instagram pages. They're seeing our Facebook. They're seeing our marketing, and they know what we're doing. They get that we're playing in that area of social media and online marketing.
Yeah, cool. And what? So obviously out there, there's a ton of different, like, I guess the first time I come across teeth whitening was with HomeKits. And I've tried a couple of different ones, and I'm sure a number of people out there have tried teeth whitening before, whether it be a HomeKit or even at the dentist. What kind of separates you guys from those or from other clinics?
Yeah, so there's a lot of HomeKits on Instagram, a lot of different ones. The main difference is anyone that's not a dentist legally is limited to a certain concentration. So whether it's beauty salon, hairstylist, Safeway, Priceline, or something you buy on Instagram, they're looking at the main ingredient, which is hydrogen peroxide. Everyone's limited to about 6% concentration. So the same thing you can get from a beauty salon is the same thing you can buy off the shelf from Coles or Safeway or supermarket.
Yeah.
When you come get it done with dentists, we use 25% concentration.
Right.
So it's different method.
Substantially bigger than.
Yeah. So it's different methods, different techniques, and everything gets protected and covered. A big part of that is because legally as well, anyone that's not a dentist isn't allowed to touch your mouth. That's why they're not able to cover your lips and gums and all that. And then it gives us the opportunity to be able to use the higher concentration that really works, and it's been great.
Cool. Moving back to building a brand or a business in general, what are some of the marketing tools or, I guess, avenues that you've found most effective in bringing awareness around Smiles of Melbourne and just gaining leads and new customers?
Yeah. Well, we started off like straight from zero out of or off Instagram. The reason we jumped over to Instagram was, like I was saying earlier, I built the first clinic off Facebook.
Okay.
And then towards the end, I've actually sold
the first Smiles clinic?
No, the very first dental
clinic.
So I've actually sold that since then to focus on Smiles of Melbourne. So we built that off Facebook, and towards the end of it, that's why all the changes in Facebook, even the ads algorithm was changing quite rapidly, so it wasn't as easy to do ads anymore. You had to get someone who, you know, was genuinely an expert in it to do it.
Yep.
And that's why I started looking around for different platforms that were growing and easy for us to jump into and maximize. That's why I came across Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine introduced me to it, Nathan Chan, Founder Magazine. Big shout out there.
Cool.
So he's the one that got me into it. And he's got his profile's just under a million followers now, so he knew what he's doing, and he's built a course since then around it.
Yeah, you guys have probably heard me mention Founder Magazine on the podcast before. If not, on my blog on DannyKennedyFitness.com, I've actually got a written interview with Nathan, so be sure to check that one out. But definitely worth subscribing to the Founder podcast for sure.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, 100%.
So he got me into Instagram, and we went from zero to about 15,000 followers. We haven't grown much in the last 6-8 months or so, but what I found was the focus was the challenge was to try and grow a local following,
yeah.
That without sort of you know, getting followers from the US and Canada, which aren't going to do any good for me when being a local business in Melbourne. That was the challenge with Instagram, but it's worked very well for us. That's probably what kicked us off at the start.
Yep. Was there anything in particular that you were doing with Instagram to help build that following?
Yeah, so back then we were doing the follow me, follow you strategy, which is you follow a lot of people with Crowdfire, which has since been banned because a lot of people were doing it. And then people follow you back. And if you're strategic with it, I used to follow the followers of local cafes. Because you know everyone, the smaller ones, so you know everyone there was in the area. And they would follow you back, and that's how the word got around. And then we started using, or started reaching out to bloggers and influencers, people with larger followings going, you know, come down, check out what we've got, like to offer you this, the teeth whitening session. If you can help us out, you know, help us spread the word. And that's helped us grow quite a bit, and it's that in itself has built a lot of credibility around the brand, and just what we're doing, who we are, and from there it actually led to being able to see people from reality TV shows like this. In the last couple of months, we've seen people from most of the shows that have just finished, whether it's The Block, Survivor, Married at First Sight, and a whole bunch of different ones. Actually, this year we were talking about. Producers of The Block might be coming down next year to come and film the new season, the Office, and go down. So that should be good publicity.
Sweet. Cool. And we've spoken, you've been helping me, or starting to help me out a little bit with this in the last couple of weeks, but how important is it to have a strategy when running a business, or even when looking at a certain aspect of your business to try and grow or change or develop?
I think it's incredibly important. It's something that I've personally been getting a lot more into the last few months. It's probably why I've talked to you about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, it's one of those things where it's good to have a strategy as long as you appreciate the flexibility it can come with it. Like, for example, people ask me, what's the final goal with the smiles and all that, or what was the goal when we initially started?
Mm-hmm.
The goal was 5 and 5. So 5 clinics in 5 years. That was the initial goal.
And how long has it been?
It's been about 15 or 16 months, or up to 3. So,
So you're ahead of schedule.
And when that happens, then you start looking at it again, reassessing, going, okay, well, you know, we can change the goal a bit more. Should we go more? Should we change the direction we're going? How can we continue to grow the business and keep adding to it? And one thing I've been doing the last month or so is really trying to plan out everything that we're doing. So literally going, financially, where's the business want to be in 5, 7, or 10 years? And then you start planning out underneath that, going, okay, well, we're going to have, say, 3 or 4 departments or products, and underneath that, another 2 products each or something like that. And then just going right down to the details of what do I need, or who do I need to be able to execute on those, whether it's products, departments, or separate sort of businesses. And once you really dig down and go right down to planning the specifics, you literally just have a how-to guide pretty much that you've put together yourself, and all you gotta do is just execute on it. And it's once you really put it down and you lay it out, it makes it look a lot more doable.
Yeah, and one thing that you kind of mentioned there, and that I've taken, I guess, from Gary Vee, listening to a lot of Gary Vee lately, is that he mentions a lot to focus on your strengths, or build your strengths, and let someone else take care of your weaknesses. So are you doing much outsourcing with your online team, or with your business?
Definitely, 100%. And I think I've really learned to appreciate that phrase, focusing on your strength. Only because if that's what you're good at and that's what you're passionate at, that's what you're going to excel at quite easily with minimal effort, and you're going to do it much better than the average person.
And I think, just quickly, I think the more I've been thinking about it is, if you put it like this, if there's something that you're good at, obviously you get it done quicker, you enjoy it, you get it done. Whereas if it's something that you're not so good at, you could be wasting or spending, you know, like triple the amount of time that it could take 100%. Someone else doing it. You just waste that much time, and it's still probably going to be not up to scratch compared 100%. To get something else 100%. To do.
100%. And the most probably, the most relevant example, for example, is Facebook ads. Facebook ads for us, I could spend literally the next 4 or 5 months trying to learn it, and it will get me just to an average level. Whereas if you outsource it to someone who knows what they're doing, is very good at it, loves it, they're passionate about it, in those 4 or 5 months, they're going to grow your business, not just figure out how to.
Yeah.
So it's that's a huge thing. So definitely, and that's part of the planning. What I was saying, find out what you need and who you need.
Yeah.
Because part of it might be, for example, you and I were talking about this, possibly building an online course for a fitness course or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know much about that. Most people don't know much about that. You don't know what sort of tech you need, what sort of apps, what sort of, and all that stuff. And if you do figure out, then you got to figure out how to install them, how to use them, how to work them. Or you can just go to Upwork or Freelancer and hire someone for $50 or $100 and put the whole thing together.
Do it for you, yeah.
Exactly. And they'll do it within a couple of days.
Yeah.
Instead of spending 2, 3, 4 months trying to figure out how to do it. And then when you do it, it's not even done right.
Yeah, 100%. And you mentioned before, there's a couple of side jobs that you've been working on lately. So there's Smiles of Melbourne, but you've also just launched, I believe, a couple of
One of them is a dental equipment business that I actually started when I was in dental school. I started that in second year. I started looking at using it seriously towards the last 2 years of dentistry. By the time I graduated, I put aside $50,000 or $60,000 to help pay for the wedding and honeymoon and all that. I got married straight out. And I was doing all the... So it was a physical product. I had it literally in the spare bedroom and was shipping it out myself, doing all the packaging, doing all the labeling.
Yep.
By the time I graduated and made all that money from it, the little bit of money from it, I remember swearing to myself, I'm never going to touch physical products again, just because I was doing it all myself.
Yeah.
And I went from that into building physical businesses, which looking back now, it probably wasn't the right direction.
Yeah.
But having done Smiles and the first link and all that, and understood business a bit more and online business a bit more, going back to it, because now I'm looking at going, I can run this with minimal effort because I know how to outsource the fulfillment and how to build a website that speaks to it, and we can just streamline the whole thing. And I knew there was a market for it, so we're launching that again. We've started making sales. We launched, I think, last week, so it's going well.
Yeah.
And then we were in the middle of the other one's not so much a brand new business, but it's more an extension of Smiles. So,
yeah, sure.
Right now in Smiles of Melbourne, we've really got two products or two services. One is the whitening in the clinic by the dentist, so the physical locations, and we also have a teeth whitening kit to take home. We usually sell them in the clinic as a maintenance. Some people buy them online as well, whether they can't physically make it all the way to a clinic or they might not want to pay the higher price for the clinic service, they'll buy that and use that at home. But we've never really tried to push it as a separate project, only because I've always looked at it and thought, well, there's a million other people on Instagram doing it. But now, again, similarly, now the people that I've been working with, the team that we've got around us, we've sort of looked at it and went, okay, well, I feel like we could do it much better than the other people doing it online.
Yeah, sure.
Just with the understanding and the back end that we have. So we're launching that. And it was timed with launching the Sydney clinic. So give you a bit of background. So the whitening kits that we have now, they have the logo Smiles of Melbourne on it.
Okay, so that's from the clinic.
That's from the clinic, yeah. So when we went to Sydney, we didn't have ones that said Smiles of Sydney. I didn't want to start going to making separate kits to say Smiles of Sydney in case we went to another state and
Sure.
like Smiles of Brisbane, Smiles of... It was just going to be a pain to have five different brands or five different... So the other idea we came up with was to have one... generalized brand. So right now we're going with the whitening dentist.
Nice.
So we're going to have that across all the kits, and what that's going to do is it's going to let us be able to sell the kits in different states, and if we were to open up in new states, it's replicatable there. We just got to transfer some kits there, and then it's the brand's flexible enough to be able to sell it online without taking away from the clinics.
Yeah, and has launched?
It's launched, we're middle of launching it.
Yeah,
so
cool.
We're building out the ads and all that at the moment.
Is there a site that people can visit?
Yeah, so it's
for those that aren't in Melbourne or Sydney?
Yeah, so it's thewhitingdentist.com.au.
Definitely check that one out, guys. So a couple more questions. Obviously, there's probably been a ton of things you would do differently, I guess, especially going just kind of straight into the business and just kind of taking it as it comes.
Yeah.
But is there any main, I guess, mistakes or things that you would have done differently that you could share with those that are listening to help them from making the same mistakes?
People don't realize when I first launched, this is why I was touching on Facebook ads earlier, when I first launched Smiles of Melbourne, the very first one, I was going off the first dental clinic we had, which I've since sold. Yep. And I was doing my own Facebook ads at that time, like in the very first clinic. And that's what gave me the understanding of the ads and how it works and all that.
Yep.
And I think the algorithm matured, I guess, and you had to have a much deeper understanding of it, so I couldn't do it anymore. But I gave it another go when we first launched Smiles of Melbourne. It very easily spent about $4,000 or $5,000, and I think we got two bookings. Our bookings are worth $300. One of those bookings didn't show up. The other one cancelled.
Right.
So, fair
to say you lost a lot.
Yeah. And that's part of it. A lot of people might look at that and go, "Oh, you've lost so much money, blah blah, and all that." But the reality of it is, it was an educational expense.
Yeah.
So now I do understand Facebook a little bit more, but we still have someone who's excellent that we outsource all our ads to.
Yeah.
But because of that, it's allowed me to filter out hiring the Facebook ads expert, I guess. Because I've seen what's right and what's wrong. I definitely know what's wrong because I've done it.
Yeah.
So when I see someone else doing or running it a certain way, I can tell that, well, it's not right, I know this should be done. So it gives you a deeper understanding.
Yeah.
And I think that's incredibly valuable in being able to build the business that we've built, because understanding how things are done or how it should be done in different aspects of the business, I think it's incredibly important, because when you get to a level where you're looking to outsource it, when you know it inside, when you know it quite well or have a decent understanding of it, you know who to outsource it to, or you can filter out through, you know, the experts, quote unquote.
Yeah, and that goes for so many things. I think when you do make mistakes, or when you, I guess, fail or make errors, is to be able to take something from it to make sure that you don't make the same mistake, but also see a positive or see an opportunity in every time that you do stuff up, or you do lose a little bit of money or whatever it is, because you make note of it, keep track of what's worked and what hasn't, and then make sure you don't make the same mistake again.
100%. People don't probably realize, I said we were launching that dental equipment business that I had in dental school. Before that, I was trying to sell 3, 4, 5 different things online, right, literally from TVs to Xboxes and PlayStations I was importing from the US and then selling them on eBay a year, and then realizing that it's a different system, the power and all that, so hardly make any money off that because no one wanted to buy them, and literally selling like LED TVs online, dropshipping them from the supplier here in Australia, and literally making $20 or $30 a sale, and then dealing with all the crap customer service side of it that came with it. So you, as you do all that stuff, you learn over the years that, okay, what do you want to get into? What don't you want to get into? What do you want to avoid? What do you want to do more of? And it goes back to what you were saying about Gary V going, you know, focus on your strengths and work on that. But making mistakes and losing money is almost a right of way. And a lot of people look at the losing money side of it as you've lost money, it's a fail. But a lot of times it's a learning expense.
Yeah.
And that's just part of it.
100%. All right, mate. Well, that's pretty much all I had to ask. Is there anything else you wanted to add or mention before we finish up today?
People just shouldn't be scared about doing things. Like, now's the time. I imagine all your listeners are younger generation, like 40-year-olds. But now's the time to do it, when you don't have 6, 7 kids relying on your income and all that. Just do it, fail, lose money, and then it's all a learning expense. And then you make it back. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen if you lose a couple $1,000? You make it back next year. It'll come back. It doesn't matter what you do, it'll come back. So everything works out.
Yeah, there'll never be a perfect time. So start now, and just like we mentioned before, work through it. If you make a mistake, then learn from it. Make sure it doesn't happen again, and try and take the positives from each negative. Thanks for joining us today, mate. Guys, if you're in the Melbourne area, definitely check out Smiles of Melbourne.
Or in Sydney.
In Sydney, yes. Smiles of Sydney.
That's right.
If you're not in the area, check out the home kits. Definitely worth a look. But thanks for coming on, mate. We'll hopefully do another one in a year or so, and there'll be who knows how many clinics there'll be by then. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, guys, if you haven't already. Leave a review. It all does help. And look forward to chatting to you guys again next week on episode 33.